for Resources Committee and open up a public hearing on Senate Bill 373. With me at the dais is Representative Jackie Dingfelter, who chairs the House Committee on the Environment. So while we are a little bit light on committee members, you happen to have the two chairs, which is a rare occurrence. And actually, let me go back and amend my opening. What I'm actually doing is opening up a subcommittee to the Senate Committee on Environment and Natural Resources. And we're very pleased that you stayed long enough to testify, and we're very glad to have you here. Everything you say will go on the record, be a part of the official record on Senate Bill 373 to be considered by the full committee. Mr. Donovan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Dingfelter. For the record, my name is Phil Donovan. I'm Government Affairs Representative for the Confederated Tribes of the Umatilla Indian Reservation. With me today is an elected member of the Board of Trustees, Armin Minthorn, to express comments and support for Senate Bill 373.
Mr. Minthorn, welcome to the committee. Thanks for being here.
Again, my name is Armin Minthorn, a member of the Board of Trustees, Confederated Tribes of Umatilla, and I truly want to thank you for today. The Confederated Tribes want to make it known today that we do support the establishment of renewable portfolio standard for the state's utilities. The Columbia River Tribes, Yakima, Nez Perce, Warm Springs, and Umatilla, as the parent tribes of the Columbia River Intertribal Fish Commission, have advocated for the diversification of the Northwest power system in order to take pressure off the hydro systems and the resulting adverse effects on salmon, which have devastated tribal fishing economies. Having said this, attached to our written comments is a summary of the Columbia River Intertribal Fish Commission Tribal Energy Vision. More specifically regarding SB 373, we encourage the Senate to stay with the goal of 25% by 2025. We support most of the details of the February 28, 2007 draft bill. As an Indian tribe located in rural northeastern Oregon, we share our neighbors' desires to provide valuable new sources of income for farmers. This helps to take pressure off of the farmers to engage in marginal farming practices. Such practices damage water and air quality, impacting salmon, a natural resource and treaty reserved resource central to my culture, my health, and my way of life. We also share the concerns of rural counties that have seen their tax paces dwindling over the years, reducing services to all of us. Renewable energy projects, especially wind and biomass, help increase tax revenues in our struggling rural areas. These same projects increase jobs and help keep money in our communities. On a regional basis, renewable energy standards will help decrease air pollution. As we all know, air pollution poses an increasing health risk to all of us and impacts salmon, which, as stated earlier, are key to our religion, culture, and our health. On a statewide basis, we share the same concerns as consumers and businesses that rely on stable, predictable power prices. These new standards will help create the stability and predictability. And these are our concerns. First, encouraging more renewable generation within Oregon and the region is a great vision and goal. But we encourage the Senate to recognize that utilities will need to help in developing new transmission as well. The lack of transmission to the West has hindered the development of renewables in eastern Oregon. We will need both the federal and the state government to help in overcoming the economic obstacles if we are to have transmission capacity when we need it, not several years too late. Second, we object to hydropower being considered a renewable resource unless there is adequate fish protection. We have decades of evidence to show the impact of hydropower on salmon. We ask that the Senate to add language barring hydro projects from eligibility under the renewable energy standards unless they can show no net detriment to fish. Again, the importance of fish to our health and culture cannot be overstated. Third, we encourage you to build in tax credits or similar incentives for utilities. The capital-intensive nature of wind projects and their intermittent power production results in a higher cost than fossil fuel projects, pushing utilities to drag their feet on development of renewables. Tax incentives as credits against property and or income taxes would greatly help. But as another note, Senator and Chair, the tribes have worked very diligently since my ancestors signed the Treaty of 1855. When my ancestors signed that treaty, they had a foresight that looked ahead to my generation today. Because of the signing of that treaty with the U.S. government, they reserved our rights to fish, hunt, and to gather at usual and accustomed places. My lifestyle, my people's lifestyle, depend on those resources. They had the foresight. Generations before me had that foresight. I have that foresight. These kinds of bills, these kinds of projections, whether they're Senate or Republican, they have to have a foresight because all of us are dependent on the same resources. And future generations are going to be dependent on those same resources. And they have to be clean. I don't want to show a picture to my great-grandchildren of salmon. I want them to eat it religiously and to have it part of their ceremonies, just like I am today. So your help, your considerations for future generations is important. I pass laws on my reservation. You pass laws here in Salem. Those laws have to have a foresight. Utilities, what have you, they have to be in harmony with our environment. We have to have an environment to continue to support future generations. That's my job. That's your job. We need to share that job, and we need to have that foresight. So those are my comments, Senator and Chair. Thank you.
Representative?
I just wanted to say thank you for those words of wisdom. And as you know, I've worked on salmon recovery for many years, and I certainly appreciate the work that the tribes have done, especially in Umatilla, and certainly appreciate you sharing those comments. I'm just sad that we didn't have a room full of people here today to hear those as well, but hopefully people will listen to the tapes and are possibly listening now and really appreciate your comments on this bill.
You know, Mr. Manthorne, a lot of the discussion that we have about this bill deals with legal technicalities, industry technicalities about percentages and trading of energy credits. And I have, and not nearly as artfully as you, tried to describe several times the spirit that this bill contains, a spirit that in many ways, in an Oregon tradition, even separate from your tribal traditions, there's an Oregon tradition that ties people very closely to the water and the land. And that type of a tradition that you spoke so well of goes much longer back and much deeper within the Confederated Tribes. And I have to tell you, my heart just sinks that every single person who serves in this legislative body could not hear what you just said. Because what you just described is the real purpose behind the bill like this. And for us to succeed in this building on this bill, to me, is more than just getting enough votes to pass the bill. It's having that kind of understanding that you so clearly have. The committee will know about your presence here today. They'll have your written testimony. The committee members actually read the testimony. But it is a very poor replacement for you. And even though it is a great burden for you to come all the way here and testify, I hope very much you will drive back here again.
I will.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Donovan, who else do we have up?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We have, you made it back, the president of the Northwest Steelheaders, Mark Davis, please. And also James Schroeder, who is the senior environmental policy analyst with the National Wildlife Federation. The Association of Northwest Steelheaders are an affiliate of the National Wildlife Federation, and I'd like to turn it over to Mark to share a little bit of our interest in Senate Bill 317.
Thank you, Phil. First of all, thank you for going the extra mile and staying here with us tonight. That's very much appreciated. I think you and I have just about the same distance to go because I, too, am a Beaverton resident.
Oh.
So, good afternoon / evening. My name's Mark Davis, and I'm a volunteer president of the Association of Northwest Steelheaders. We have 17 chapters across the state of Oregon and over 2,000 members. Our priorities are to advance sport fishing opportunity and improve salmon and steelhead habitat for future generations. Here in the Pacific Northwest, we're working hard to restore and improve salmon and steelhead runs. We are making good progress in that respect. We have a dedicated source of revenue to fund salmon restoration projects. We've made significant management changes to curtail the sport and commercial harvest of salmon. Northwest Steelheaders support and are helping to implement reforms to our hatchery systems to minimize interactions between wild and hatchery fish. We would not like to see that investment of money and effort lost because cold water species like salmon and steelhead encounter warm ocean conditions off our coast and too little river water in summer months because of diminished snowpack and early summer months runoff. These conditions are just the very beginnings of global warming. I'm here today to support Senate Bill 373. This legislation is the most significant public policy under consideration by this body to make a meaningful difference in the effort to stop global warming. I thank the committee for taking on this important subject. I thank them very much. Last year, the Northwest Steelheaders became the sole Oregon affiliate for National Wildlife Federation. We did this because we know the effects that global warming are having on our fish and wildlife populations. With me today is James Schroeder, Senior Policy Analyst for the National Wildlife Federation. He's here to share with you some of his findings.
Thank you, and thanks for having us. And I appreciate that you've held the hearing after all of the activity of today. As Mark mentioned, I'm James Schroeder. I'm with National Wildlife Federation. Our Western Resource Center is in Seattle, but we serve Oregon, Washington, California, and Hawaii. And I'm here representing the 64,000 members of sportswomen, sportsmen, and supporters that we have here in the state of Oregon. I wanted to thank the committee, in particular Senator Avakian, for your leadership that you're showing on this bill. The National Wildlife Federation feels that this is exactly the kind of leadership that we need now, and it's the kind of leadership that our president, Larry Schweiger, is showing as well. National Wildlife Federation has made combating global warming a top priority because we know that achieving our mission of protecting wildlife for our children's future depends on us stabilizing our climate. And we believe a renewable energy standard is a critical piece in the suite of solutions to global warming. We face urgent and dire consequences in Oregon if global warming continues unabated. And scientists and researchers at the Climate Impacts Group at the University of Washington have recently compiled a thorough analysis of the state of the art of the science on global warming and its impacts on cold water fish. And I'll be talking about some of that today. The very complex life cycle of salmon, as you probably know, Pacific salmon species have evolved to take advantage of historical patterns of snowmelt, snowpack, rainfall, runoff, from the mountain headwaters to the main stem rivers, the estuarine habitats. Our salmon depend on the hydrologic cycle and they're tied to it. So when we see that science is showing that we'll see significant changes in snowpack, runoff, snowmelt, rainfall, it causes us great concern. The science is showing us that there's already been a 30 to 60% loss of snow water equivalent in the Cascade Mountains. And without prompt action, the snowpack in the Cascades is projected to decline by 59% by the year 2050. As you probably know, more rain causes increased winter high flow events that cause intense scouring of reds and diminished productivity of the salmon populations. In late spring and summer, when most Oregon streams rely on gradual snow melt to have sustained flows, reduced snowpack will mean less water in the streams and lower flows. Lower flows and warmer summers are a lethal combination for cold water fish, which are extremely sensitive to changes in water temperature. When streams get too warm, fish grow at a slower rate. When streams get too warm, there's inadequate dissolved oxygen levels in the streams to sustain the fish and makes them more susceptible to toxics that may be in the water, to parasites and disease that they may encounter. Below average flows in the summer make it difficult for adult fish to return to their spawning grounds because they encounter whatever obstacle they may as they return from their marine environment to their natal streams. And, of course, too little water after they spawn can result in dried out eggs, and those don't go anywhere. So a couple of facts that are important, and this bill addresses, in reducing global warming pollution. Since the Industrial Revolution, average global temperature has increased by 1 degree Fahrenheit. And that may not seem like much, but the Northwest has increased at a rate of 1.5 degrees Fahrenheit. The poles of the planet warm faster than the equatorial regions. If we continue to burn fossil fuels at the rate that we are, we can see, or we're expecting to see, a change in 3 to 6 degrees Fahrenheit by the year 2040. That's with the pollution, global warming pollution that we have in the environment, and that we're contributing with our current fossil fuel consumption patterns. National Wildlife Federation produced a report called Fish Out of Water that concludes that a 3 degree change in average August temperatures would cause a significant numbers of the streams in Oregon, in the Columbia River Basin and coastal watersheds in Oregon, to become too warm for most salmon, steelhead, and trout species. Many of these stocks are already struggling to survive because of the other stresses that they encounter, be it altered landscapes, dams, all of the above. And their ability to persist is in question. There are many other sectors of our community that are being affected by global warming. Climate change is causing more extreme weather. We're seeing colder times in winter, but we also expect that the average temperature in winter will warm. We expect that there will be an increased rate, intensity, and extent of invasive species, pests, diseases. If warming trends continue as projected, forest die-offs due to pine bark beetles and other pests are expected to worsen. Invasive species such as the green crab, which thrive in warmer waters, can take advantage of stressed ecosystems and send stressed species and extend their ranges. Warmer waters also result in increased health hazards from shellfish consumption to people and to wildlife. Warmer, drier conditions due to global warming have contributed to a fourfold increase in the number of major wildfires in western forests and a sixfold increase in the area of forest burns since the mid-1980s. Oregon is home to an incredible diversity of native wildlife species, including over 330 species of birds, 150 species of mammals, 32 species of reptiles, amphibians, 65 species of fish. Rising temperatures and rising sea level in Oregon will likely change the makeup of entire ecosystems and forcing wildlife to shift their ranges to adapt. National Wildlife Federation has commissioned a sea level rise analysis that looks at Tillamook Bay up to the Columbia River estuary, and we're interested in sharing that when it's finished because it shows significant changes in salinity flows, vegetative communities, habitats for our fish, specifically rearing habitats for our salmon. Warmer temperatures are expected to alter the alpine ecosystems of Oregon's Crater Lake National Park, which will affect wildlife such as black bear, elk, eagles, falcons, pine marten. Global warming may reduce cold water upwellings events off the Oregon coast, which will increase surface water temperatures, reducing overall ocean productivity, which will affect fish, mammals that depend on fish, seabirds. Loss of wildlife and habitat could likely mean a loss of tourism dollars. In 2001, more than 2 million people spent nearly $2.1 billion on hunting, fishing, and viewing wildlife in Oregon. And that supported, in turn, 42,000 state jobs. This bill, Senate Bill 373, directly affects the viability of fish and wildlife in this state. And I just want to say that National Wildlife Federation is passionately committed to this issue. We'll be mobilizing a broad base of sportsmen, women, wildlife enthusiasts, and advocates for strong climate policy. And we're trying to do this back in D.C. We're trying to do this in our regions and the states that we serve. And we want to commend you for bringing this bill forward. On a personal note, I have two children that are 2.5 and 4.5, and I want to leave to them the legacy that was left to me, which wasn't a planet that's dying, but was a planet that can get healthy. The quality of their future greatly depends on how we collectively address global warming as communities and as individual citizens. And I'd like to leave with a quote from Dr. Martin Luther King, who said, "Our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter." And this is something that matters greatly to very many people, and we won't be silent on it, and we're glad that you aren't as well. So thank you for hearing me.
Anything?
I wanted to thank you for coming, and I did want to mention that my committee will be we're going to do this jointly, holding a series of hearings on climate change as well. So once we get through some of these other bills, and we're just waiting for those to come back from legislative drafting, but appreciate the work that you do, and certainly has big impact on wildlife and habitats throughout not just Oregon, but throughout the world. So it's a very important issue.
Very nice ending on a civil justice note, too. Mr. Donovan, did you have anything else?
Just in conclusion, to both of you, thank you very much for spending the extra time for those who have traveled from some great distances. I do want to just share with you that your leadership on this issue is so greatly appreciated, because really this is the commencement of a tremendous effort. This issue has been debated for several years now. The debate is over. People appreciate and understand that global warming is something that needs to be addressed, and we're going to lend our resources to it. In fact, the Northwest Steelheaders, just this last week, were able to hire a full-time person to be organizing sportsmen and women around the issues of global climate change. The legislation in front of us today is so incredibly important to that endeavor, because if we don't get a handle on fossil fuel and our reliance on that, we're never going to stem the tide. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome, and thank you all for waiting around and being here as well. With that, I will close the public hearing on Senate Bill 373 and adjourn the subcommittee for the Senate Environment and Natural Resources Committee.